Howdy, Hot Tops. I am the Mob, the producer of Half the Glass with Over Great.
Yeah, call me Over Great. How y'all living? What's up?
I want to thank you for listening to Half the Glass. Please follow the show on Instagram at High Off the Glass. That's with a T-A, not T-H-E. Twitter at the underscore glass. Follow Over Great.
And follow me at all them social shits that y'all go to, that y'all like going to. My producer getting a sip on. Just follow me there if you want. If you don't, that's cool too. But check out the show because you'll love it. It's dope.
Also follow the show on Facebook at High Off the Glass. Email the show at highofftheglass@gmail.com. Please subscribe to the show. Enough of me.
I think it's...
He's dying.
I'm dying. This is some good shit. Holla back.
Right, everybody. Welcome to another episode of High Off the Glass, Rona Chronicles edition. You know, you see how it is. Y'all, when you see the background, when you see the man cave slash garage, you know what we're doing. We're doing Rona Chronicles. We got another awesome guest today. This is my guy right here, y'all. I'll tell you one thing. I'm so glad I met this brother. This brother has looked out for me. He's been great to me since I met him. And he is on the cusp of cannabis in the state of Missouri, everything that's involved with it. Everybody, welcome Zachary Pulse. How you doing, Chief?
Hey, yo, what's good, man? I like that introduction. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, dude.
but I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good, you know, just maintaining, bro, through all of this COVID-19 and, you know, all the craziness that the world is under. Still trying to, you know, maintain and stay focused through it all.
There's so much baggage right now. The only good thing from the Rona Chronicles, from this Corona bullshit, is that when I do my show now, I can blow during my show because I'm in my garage. We're not in the Buddha basement.
So, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So light it up. Light it up.
We about to spark out this bitch. You know.
Damn right. Mm-hmm. I got all my necessary requirements to roll it up, but I'm at the office, so you know.
Right.
Take it easy right now.
So we got to do that shit outside, or we're going to hold off on that. One conversation that we were just having right before we cut the lights on everybody, we were talking about how sports leagues are starting to lessen their restrictions on cannabis. And you made a good point. You were saying that the NFL was doing it, and they were doing it because of CTE and suicides and all this stuff. I'll be honest with you. From as much as I follow the NFL in the inner workings of that organization, how they treat their teams and how they treat the owners and how they treat their players, basically how the owners treat the players, I don't think they give a shit about those cats' health. I just think they lessen the restrictions on it because they needed a sticking point because they just had the collective bargaining agreement, a contract. They just had those negotiations a few months ago. They needed a sticking point to make the lower end players in the league want to sign off on that new contract. And I think that was it. We're going to have a whole nother game, which veteran players don't want to do because that's more wear and tear on their body. But the younger players are with it. That's a whole nother $100,000 for them. That's a whole nother game.
Right.
And then they said, okay, we're not going to test for marijuana as much. So you guys can smoke all the green you want. And that kind of got them. And I like that, but it was just a caveat to have them sign that bullshit contract. If you look at the contract, it's not set up well for the players. They got a little increase in money, but not much. It's still heavily favored towards the owners. And I don't even think they get, I don't think they get merchandise. See, the difference between the NFL and the NBA is NBA players get this thing. It's called, I forget the proper name for it, but basically they get a cut of the merchandising, the TV contracts, the players get a cut of that. In the NFL, players don't get that. You know what I'm saying? They don't get that. They just get what your contract says you get. And NFL contracts aren't guaranteed, unlike NBA and MLB. So it's really kind of sad, man.
Yeah, it is sad. It is sad, man. And like the way I look at it is like me being like part of the business world of being, you know, watching the corporate industry for years, is you better believe it that they're always going to put themselves in the best position. That's just business, you know. So Do they care somewhat for their players? Yeah, somewhat, but they care more about their bottom line. So players or employees at the end of the day. You know, like when I worked in a job, I always understood that I was replaceable. You know what I'm saying? And you got to go into it knowing that. You know, so on that side of it, I think this opens people's eyes up to. Well, I mean, we've heard and seen and watched enough of the horror stories or the bad endings of how a player get drafted and the money and something to happen and they'll get screwed out of a lot of money, their agents paid, and you know now they're poor. Like we hear all about that, but we've seen enough of that now if you're 2021 looking at that being your career, you should have something now in place to be like, okay, let me try to maneuver through this a little bit better. But and if you don't, you should be ready to receive what you receive. You know, that's kind of how I look at it. We got enough examples now where you know what you're getting yourself into. Same thing like with the music industry and so on and so forth. Like, you know, we've seen enough people get screwed. So if you go in here and get screwed, that's your fault. You know, so that's kind of how I look at it.
I hear you on that. And you make a great point. And I love to talk to you about this because you're a businessman. So I want to hear a businessman's point of view on this. But I'll bring it to the topic at the big documentary that everybody's watching right now, Last Dance, because we don't have shit else to do.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't know if you saw episode 2. One of the main things they talked about in episode 2 is how Scottie Pippen, who at the time was the second best player in the league behind the GOAT, took a shitty contract in 91. In 91, he wasn't the second best player, but he was coming up. And he took a shitty contract. He took a 7-year, $18 million deal. And people were like, at the time, it sounded okay. But then, what was it? I think 2 or 3 years later, the NBA again signed another CBA, which had revenue skyrocket. So players were ridiculous amounts of money. So, but he was still locked into that shitty deal. And people had the nerve. People were saying, like, what you just said. If you've seen musicians, you've seen athletes that went in and didn't get paid and got screwed. If you get screwed, it's on you. But, and again, with Scotty, it's a little different because this was 91. This was 2020, you know what I'm saying? But, again, you look at Scotty's circumstances. He grew up with in his home. His brother and his dad grew up with that. Nine of them. As brothers and sisters, siblings and shit. So it was he came from a huge family. He knew he had to provide for them. So he was going to take anything that was over a couple million, he was going to take that because he knew he needed that. And that's the thing and bring it back to what we were just saying about the CBA with the NFL. It's almost like, we know y'all are hurting for this money. So we're going to give you this money, but it's not going to be as much as you deserve, but we're going to wring your neck until we get everything out of those dollars until it works better for us. And I don't fault Scotty for taking that deal because Jermell Hill made a great point. He had two family members that were wheelchair bound. They were living not in poverty, but close to it. So I don't knock him for taking that deal. And I'll be honest with you, in 2020, I wouldn't knock somebody for taking that deal because depending on their particular circumstances. You know, me and my mother used to have this argument all the time. Should Kobe go to the NBA? Should LeBron go to the NBA? Should this person go to the NBA? Well, depending on them circumstances, maybe they should. Kobe maybe didn't have to because his family already had money, but he was good enough to go. LeBron, his family was broke, and he was good enough to go. So, of course, you meant that. You know, it just depends on the situation, but I can't just clear-cut blame someone who says, you know what, fuck it, I gotta take the money because we need it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, it comes back to that. Like, you know, like, okay, back in 91 and stuff, maybe you didn't have as many examples, but now in the current times of 2020, you've seen enough examples so that, if you're in a position where you know you need that bread, well, just be ready to take on, like, try to negotiate as best as you can. Or put the people in place that can like really have your back, and I just go for the first offer, you know. And if you go for the first offer, and then 10 years down the line, you figure out you got really screwed, you got to eat that, you got to take that L. It's business, man. Welcome to America. It's capitalization, man. Like, I mean, that's what it is.
I'll give you a prime example right now. Just heard this. This just happened to one of the biggest hip hop artists out right now, Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
Got caught, He got caught up what was his name?
Jay Prince.
No, it wasn't Jay Prince. It was the other cat. He used to play baseball for the Red Sox. He started at what's his name? His name starts with a C. Oh man, I just read about this stuff. Anyway, the ex Red Sox baseball player started the record company. I guess he's from Houston as well. Started a record company, signed Meg to this fucking deal that is like blanket, clear cut. You cannot move unless we say so type shit. So now she's stuck. And my thing is, number one, I don't blame Meg all the way. I blame the record company. I know it's a business, but I mean, y'all can't do some type of way to get this woman some type of publishing or some type of rights to her shit. Something, you know what I'm saying? And it's happening right now in 2020. It's crazy, bro.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it goes back to this. You can fault whoever you want to fault, but my thing is, at the end of the day, if you're the talent and you just sign blindly to anything, that's your fault. I mean, I don't care, man. I'm at the age.
I hear you.
I don't care, bro. It's no excuses, man. We can sit here and be like, oh, well, the company should. The company is always going to do what's best for the company, and you as the person, the talent, or whatever, should always do what's best for you. The thing is negotiating till you find that middle ground. Now, if you're not a strong negotiator, you will get screwed and be looking like Meg Thee Stallion. You know what I'm saying? And if not, you'll be looking like Drake. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's different stories. Like, I mean, that's just what it is. And like, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not going to tell anybody how to live their life, mm-hmm. you know, because we all have free will. We right. have opportunity to make the decisions. And right. and with that same opportunity, we have opportunity to make bad decisions and fail. And if you do, you have to take that as a lesson. You know, I haven't gained all this business knowledge from always being right. I gained this business knowledge from being wrong a lot early. You know, it's the war wounds that come along with it. So right. it's just like you take that, you learn that, and that's just what it is. So I understand both sides of the coin. Can these businesses have a little bit more sympathy? Can they give people the benefit of the doubt? Or if they thought somebody was going to come in and really not be a big splash and gave them this whack contract, but then they come in and actually are a big splash, give them room to renegotiate. You know, can they do that? Yeah, they should. But are they? It's business.
They probably not. That's their dream. We get somebody for $0 and then they blow the fuck up. That's their
right.
dream. And I like what you said. You said your failures is what, you know, gave you your experience. You know, I mean, I get that shit. MJ used to say that shit all the time. Y'all always look at the shots that I made winning games. All them ones that I missed, that shit is
yeah.
probably makes, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I get that. What's up with, okay, so since this COVID bullshit, and you have a full-fledged business, Elite Homegrow, everybody, you guys need to check it out. It's the first school in Missouri to teach people how to cultivate cannabis. This thing is fucking awesome.
Appreciate that. Little shameless plug, you know.
That's it. Right on. Yeah. Who that finger? Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Check that shit out. Hey, I'll be honest with you, too. I was at my boy's house. He's a glass blower. His name is Ben. He was on the show, and he actually had one of your pamphlets on his damn counter and shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, how'd you get this? He was like, I don't know. I think I got it from somewhere, or my girl, because his girlfriend is Nicole. Nicole may have grabbed it from somewhere. But yeah, this dude is a big-time glass blower. He does shows all across the country, goes to Colorado a lot, got family out there. Anywhere there's a glass-blowing expo, he's there selling his pipes, selling his whatever the fuck he made.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know what I'm saying? That was good synergy, I thought.
That's definitely good synergy, man. Like, that's what's so great about the cannabis space right now. Like, I can't talk about any other state, but what I've seen in Missouri, I've been seeing a lot of support from different brands, you know what I'm saying? And these people, like, you never met them before, but you know you're all backing the same plant, the same mission, the same overall goal. And it's cool, like, how people come together and they unify just to kind of get the message across. And, yeah, I think it's a beautiful thing, man. It's definitely a beautiful thing, bro.
It really is. And it's kind of like that we're in the prohibition stage right now. We're coming out of it, and it's, you know, everything's exploding. You know, we're starting to get away from prohibition, and this is popping up, that's happening. How has COVID either helped or hurt that with you and your company?
Yeah, I would say, you know, we kind of we took COVID pretty seriously. I would say probably 3 weeks before it really impacted, because we had events and stuff that we were trying to plan to do, like 420 event, you know, so we had things already lined up, but it came more our relevant event. To me.
Our event.
Right. You feel me? and so when it started to really show more of its presence, like it's going to start shutting stuff down. Like when it shut down college basketball, then not so long after that, it shut down the NBA. That's when I was like, yeah, you know, I don't think nobody's going to be doing nothing here no time soon. So we started to kind of pull back on things. So on that, it really slowed down the train, you know. But, of course, we are a school and we provide education. And so we were able to kind of pretty much figure out that we could still take this as a opportunity to stream online. So we started working on getting all those pieces of the puzzle together. And we're going to be rolling that out here really soon. It's funny because all this happened at the same time I gave birth to my daughter. So I didn't give birth to her, but, right. You know, my wife did. But, right.
And you had a hand in it. So,
right.
You know,
right.
Angel too. You had a hand in it.
right. And so with that, it was a lot of focus was on that and why all of this COVID was happening. So the business kind of was like, kind of stopped for a second so I could focus on my family, you know, right. and make sure my baby girl get her healthy. My wife gets back, you know, to 100% as fast as possible. So that was my main priority. And now, since that pretty much we got a better grip and balance on that, it's time to go ahead and really turn the switch back on to Elite and really provide this education for the people, because they're still calling us, they're still emailing us, they want the classes. They also are people starting to do their own growth, so they have questions about issues that they may be having and tons of different things. So it slowed down initially. Like, I think it kind of shook everybody initially, but then we just adapted to it pretty fast. So we're just in a place where we're just adapting to it. And of course, when things get back to normal, eventually they will, and we'll go back to normal. But as we slowly figure out what this new normal is, Elite, we're just going to evolve with the new normal. So whatever the state wants us to do in order to be safe and sanitary, you know, we're just going to abide by that, but still provide things online when we can.
Okay. And I guess, so if people have like questions for, how do I do this for my tent? How do I want to take this class? Can they start to call you guys, email you guys again? They can get information and stuff again?
Oh, yeah. That's what they've been doing. They've been hitting us up that way. Mm-hmm. But here soon, they're going to be able to actually book a class that's streaming online. So they'll be able to pay for it through the website and things of that nature. And like if they want to book us for, you know, a tent set up and things of that, like actual services at their home, they'll be able to do that via the website here within about a week. So we're still working on all of that on the back end. But yeah, we're still driving forward, man. You know, we have different things that we have going on that we're really excited about. So as this hasn't stopped anything on our side, you know.
That's beautiful, man. You're like a damn chameleon, boy. You just keep changing and you keep going. I love it, man. I love it. Back in the Elite, boy. They fucking chameleons.
Hey, the way I look at it, man, is COVID-19 is no different from any other challenge that a business has. Okay, yeah, it's a little different. Yeah, it's an unprecedented time. But what I mean by challenge is, if it wasn't COVID-19, it would be some other challenge that you have to push through anyway.
Right.
So it's just like, this is just another challenge as a business that I have to work through. And then after we work through this, guess what? It's going to be another challenge that we have to work through. And we're just going to keep working through challenges. That's what makes a good business. What makes a bad business is a business that can't work through challenges. And then they become a non-existent business, a business no more. Longevity happens because you are able to change with the times. You know, you have to be able to do that as a person and as an establishment, because nothing ever works out the way that you plan it is. And, you know, nothing's perfect. So you always have to know in the back of your mind, I'm going to have to do something different at a point of time here. It's not all going to be smooth.
I love that answer. That makes 100% sense. 100% sense that you have to have a backup plan. You always have to. I love that. And this is my question. Me personally, I got questions about the classes. Which ones are you going to have here coming up? And are you still doing the investing in cannabis stocks? That's the one personally I want to take.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. That class right there, man, has been getting a lot of buzz, especially now. And okay. I've been telling everybody that I've been talking to, like, if they can invest, if they've been wanting to invest, this is probably the best time that they'll have in decades to get into the market, right? So, yeah.
You said best time to what?
To get into the market, into the stock market, and to invest that you will have in decades. I mean, we haven't seen the market bottom out like this since, 2009? Mm-hmm. So with that being said, it's a lower buy-in and you have more room to grow your investment versus getting in when it's normal and you have a shorter window to grow that investment. You know, so I always encourage people, especially right now. So get back to answer your question.
Yeah.
Yes, that class will be happening. We will be streaming that class Viva online. And we're thinking we're going to be using the Zoom platform.
Okay.
At first, I wasn't going to use them, but then my website hosting, they actually made it easier to use Zoom. They kind of integrated into their background. So it's like, it just makes sense. It's an easier way to kind of set it up with our current website.
Nice.
So we're going to most likely be using Zoom, but we're going to have our investing in cannabis class. We're going to have our growing cannabis class, and we're going to have our cooking with cannabis class. So those are going to be the ones that we're going to be streaming Viva Zoom. And like I said, that schedule should be out within a week or so when we actually have the schedule. People can sign up and actually book those classes and just get ready for that action, get ready for that learning experience.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. When we do those classes too, or when people take them, do you have to do it live, or is it something where you can, like, you, as long as you pay for it, you can watch it whenever? Or how does that work?
With that, I think it's two different ways we can do it. Like the way Zoom has it right now, it's going to be like Viva Live. So, like, and that's kind of the way that I want it anyway. I want the person to feel like kind of like it's the same way of them taking one of our classes. Like when we have that class in the physical sense, it's right on that particular Saturday at that particular time. They come and they do it and boom, boom, boom. You know, so, but we are working on something where it's not a class, but it's like a class, but it's more like, how can I say? It's like a hub of shorter videos that people can have access to once they subscribe. So we're still working on that on the back end where, you know, they'll subscribe to the website and then they'll have access to all these different videos that we cover cooking, we cover growing, we cover investing, and they can have access to those videos via the platform. That's one thing that we're working on. But right now, what we're going to be rolling out is live classes.
Okay, just man, that sounds good to me. It sounds like you got both of your bases covered, man.
I try to, man. I try to be, man.
Yeah, it sounds like you got both of them covered. How did 420 go for you?
420 was cool, man. It was definitely not what I what I had initially planned for 420. But of course, you know, we being who we are, we kind of was like, we adjusted to the COVID-19. So we threw a 420 virtual party, which, you know, you were there, you chimed in, you know, we had the logo in the background, you know what I'm saying? And,
appreciate the love. And, thank you.
All day, man. You know, we stay ready with the how the glass.
Oh,
you
right
know,
on, right ready. On. So
with that being said, man, it was cool for what it was. Now, right. I feel like it could have been better if we would have put more time to planning it for the virtual world, because we did Facebook Live versus IG Live,
okay.
And I feel like we would have got more traction if we went IG Live, but we partnered up with, like, it was just a different way we did it, but it still came out really cool. We got a decent amount of views, we got some interaction, and hey, we were able to smoke. We are listening to some great music by DJ Cudi. You know what I'm saying? We was in his lab cooking. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so with that, man, and shouts out to DJ Cudi, man, because he came through. I would say when it comes to, like, IG or, like, social media DJing, his backdrop, man, is untouchable, man. Like the presentation that he has with the turntables, he's the best thing that's cracking, man. Like, from other people that I've seen, like, he really got it set up really nice. So that was one reason why we wanted to, you know, hook up with him and do the virtual 420. And it came out cool, man. I had a good time, man. Of course, you know, blew a lot of smoke and was super duper high. So, hey, we accomplished what we wanted to accomplish.
I mean, that's what it's supposed to be about any fucking way. That's what the whole thing is for, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
My takeaway from it was I liked it. I had fun. It was a fun vibe. And more so, man, I was like, look at this, man. Look at Zach. Look at Cuddy. These cats were given, like, just a whole bunch of lemons, you know, like a few weeks before a major fucking holiday for smokers, for us. We're just throwing a bunch of fucking lemons or a bunch of dookie and like, hey, do something with this.
You know? Right.
What the fuck? We supposed to make something nice out of shit? You know what
right.
I'm saying? Literally took shit and made it to a little dope-ass little virtual party. I didn't know nobody else doing that. I didn't care about nothing else. It was y'all doing it. I appreciate the love y'all gave to us. But more so, y'all made something happen out of that. So, props to y'all. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, man. Yeah. You know, we try to be, you know, innovative when we have to, man. You know, because we know, like you said, for the smokers, this is a big 420 is a big holiday.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, medicinal side, recreational side, it's still the day that we take to celebrate this plant. Right. And hey, and if we all locked in quarantine anyway, it's a perfect time, like, just to do a virtual smokeout, you know. So why not just do it that way, man? So it was cool, man. It was really, like, it was quick. It was thought out. We just planned it and just boom, boom, boom. But it came out really, really cool, man. I had a great time, and it was probably one of the best hour and a half shows on 420 in Missouri. I can guarantee that.
Oh, hell yeah! I'll be honest with you again. I think I didn't hear about any other ones in Missouri. I heard about maybe two in like other states, but I didn't hear about too much other shit. So, you know, props for y'all.
Yeah, for real, man, for real. Like, and that, we might just fan that off and like, moving forward for like our other 420 parties, even if we do have a big event, we still might just stream it live.
You should. Just, I mean, kind of course, there's gonna be some people next year that may not feel like getting out or
right. Right. So we'll stream it live, man. We'll go to everybody booth that's there and let people engage with them. We'll all the entertainment that we gonna have the cameras facing on that, like, so people can really be there without being there. Because, you know, man, like, I really like the event space, and I like doing, like, really, really cool things that bring the community together behind the plant. And so it's just going to get bigger and better from here. You know, that's how I look at it.
It obviously is. And that's one thing I love about y'all. Y'all always are moving in the right direction, always. My question, I got a question now for, like, local marijuana. Like, how... local dispensaries here that are trying to open up. How has COVID affected them? Will they still be able to open up? What the hell's going on with shit like that?
I would say on that side of things, it's more like on the money side of it. Like, I can't speak for dispensaries or facilities like per se, but I look at it like, if COVID has affected anything, it has affected the capital that they may have had locked in to finish these projects, if you get what I'm saying, right? Like, if they had investors that may have a certain amount of money at this particular time when everything was great, but now that investor's money probably has been tapped, especially if they're in real estate, if they're in anything like entertainment, real estate, or something that relies on people spending money, and now their money's not looking the same. So right. If they had these millions of dollars earmarked to help out the build out of this dispensary in Missouri or this cultivation facility in Missouri, now their money might be a little tighter, and now they might have to, so that may slow down projects. But I mean, it's still, you know, that may affect a certain percentage of the people that were awarded the licenses, right? You still have other people that had money that was, you know, more locked in or whatever the case may be. So I think people that are still having all the pieces of the puzzle like they initially had, I don't think it slowed them down. I mean, construction crews are still working, you know what I'm saying? Like, things of that nature. So I feel like things will still be moving forward, but this is just a long process anyway, man. Like, I tell people this all the time. I've seen this in Nevada when they rolled out the medicinal record medicinal marijuana in Nevada. And it was the same thing, man. It was like almost 2 years from the point where they were legally able to, you know, possess marijuana and, you know, have dispensaries. So when a dispensary actually opened up medicinally, you know, because it's a lot of pieces of the puzzle. It's just not the dispensary. It's the supplier, the cultivator. So the cultivators got to get their stuff moving and grooving. So the dispensaries can open up and have CBD in there, but they ain't going to get no real flower until the cultivation facilities have been are fully operational. They got plants in the ground. They got their system dialed in, you know, depending on if the facility's using clones or seed. It all kind of it varies on what the facility's doing, but how quick can they have a harvest to get that first wave of product into the hands of the dispensary owners? You know, so it's a few different pieces of the puzzle. And I keep my ears pretty close to the streets when it's like the cultivation facilities and so on and so forth. And right now I haven't I don't say that again.
Been open this whole time?
They've been building. Like none of them as of right now, what's today, May 4th or whatever. Yeah, none of them have, that I heard, have plants that have seeds in the ground for plants.
They don't?
They don't.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so what you're saying is the cultivation facilities, they closed during this. They didn't stay open.
Now, I would say they closed. It was just like when this happened, they weren't open anyway. They were still building and, you know, land foundation, running electricity, running plumbing. Like, they're still doing that. They're still doing that, you know. Okay. So they're not, they haven't shut down, but because they were never open, you know. So they've been building the establishment. Like, these facilities, man, people, like, got to understand, like, how massive these facilities are. You know, like, this ain't we done in a week. Let's grow pounds of marijuana. No, this takes like real engineering, like, you know, like straight, you're building a building solely to produce high quality cannabis the cleanest way possible. So that's, you think about access to water, security, the whole shebang, man. Like it's a lot that goes into the build outs. Then after that's done, it goes a lot into actually producing the plant now. So that's kind of where we're at. But I think a few of them are now getting to the point where the build out is done. They're just waiting for certain inspections to be completed where they can actually drop the seed in the ground. Okay. So,
okay. And how about out of state? Have cultivation, like in cultivation facilities that have already been up and running for years that constantly produce, were they closed during COVID or what happened with them?
Not that I heard of, man. Like I read one or two articles where it was like a bigger one in Canada. Aurora and I think maybe Canopy Growth. Okay. They did some layoffs, but I think that was more to the fact of they just couldn't afford to keep it going. Mm-hmm. You know, so they just couldn't have, because like now the demand had to slow down some. You would think it probably picked up, but the way that they produce, so it probably had a different effect on their business. But here in like the States, United States, all I've seen is they've changed things where, you know, it's more delivery services and so on and so forth. So dispensaries are still selling product. Yeah. They still out there moving and grooving because where it's legal, it's legal for people to deliver marijuana, like in California, you know. Right. So they're still moving and grooving. You know, just think about it. Like, this is probably the best thing for cannabis because people are in the house.
Oh, God. Right.
So they're watching movies. They're chilling. Right. You know, so if you a smoker, I mean, just think about this. How much more do you smoke now at home versus like your normal life where you have to be at work? And you know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm definitely up a blunt. I'm definitely up a blunt. You know, so I used to average about two blunts a day. Now I average about three or four.
Yeah. Yeah, so now, you know, you're smoking more weed. I mean, you need more weed or marijuana or medicine. And now, you know, the dispensary has to be able to provide that. So it's just not you. Just imagine 50,000 smokers now all of a sudden smoking more, you know.
No doubt, definitely. I'm just glad that, thank you for the answers for that, because I was concerned, you know how us smokers are. we're kind of preconditioned to be annoyed and shit. You know what I'm saying? Certain things, you know what I'm saying?
For sure, and for sure.
But you know what? The one thing with me, with marijuana, and this is me personally, I was never scared to be out in public smoking it. I was never scared to have it with me. I never felt like I was doing something wrong. I never felt like this was a bad thing. Every time I smoked, I always felt like this is okay. And I never got in trouble for smoking. You know what I'm saying? I had respect for it, and I knew when, and I knew when to do it and when not to do it. You know what I'm saying? How to do it and how not to do it. But with this COVID shit, you know what I'm saying? I was on some, oh Lord, you know, how is this going to affect our industry? How is it going to affect the flowers?
Right.
How are we going to be able to get from A, B, and C, you know, still gonna be able to get the other people who need, you know?
So I feel like COVID, it has affected a small percent of the overall cannabis market, and mainly for capital on projects and things of that nature. But if you're already established business that's known, you're probably doing some numbers right now. So that's what it is.
That's fucking that's very true, man. This shit is crazy. And to go back, you know, the other blessing from COVID, you know, because you got to find silver linings and shit. This is,
you have to.
You mentioned before, man, you just had a baby, man. What you have? What your boy, girl?
I had a baby girl.
I know. Yeah. I just, you know, we got to tell the people and stuff.
For sure. Yeah. Baby girl, man. Beautiful baby girl. She came a month and a half early, so we had to do the NICU and the whole shebang.
That was a blessing.
Yeah. Getting through that whole thing, especially when you add COVID on top of that, it was crazy going to like the NICU every day for like about 3 weeks, almost to a month. We spent the night down there.
When was your baby born? Which hospital?
She was born at Barnes Children's Hospital downtown. On King's Highway.
Children's Hospital around King's, right next to BJC. Okay,
yeah.
My daughter was a baby, and she was born at Mercy.
Okay, got you. Yes, sir.
I know about the NICU life, man. Props, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. It's definitely It was definitely a different experience from the birth of my first daughter.
It is. So. I want to shout out to all the NICU hospitals across the country, what you do for them parents and for them kids, especially what you do for them babies. Man, I tell you one thing, I don't know how they treated y'all at Children's, but I've heard only good things about Children's. But the way they treated us at Mercy NICU, it was something special. I mean, the people looked out for us, they looked out for our child, they understood nervous and worried and wanting to know about every motherfucking thing. You know what I'm saying? They took care of us, dude. You know what I'm saying?
I really
appreciated them to the utmost extreme. Like, they were, for sure. They were great.
Oh, yeah, man. Hats off to them, man, because they have a hard job. You know, like, they have a hard job with the way that they composure and the way that they know. That's just one of those things where I feel like a lot of the staff there, especially the NICU, at an earlier age in that person's life, they probably knew that they wanted to work with children, and they nurtured that desire, and it shows in their end game. You know, it's not just a money grab or a hot industry that a bunch of people are just chasing. I feel like it's a lot of people that really work in the NICU, and they sought out the NICU for passion for children, and it really carries over to the way that, like you said, they treat the parents, and the most important, how they treat the child and nurse them back to health in the rapid speed. You know, like, it's a beautiful thing, man. It's a blessing. Definitely a blessing, man.
I'm glad that you were able to, you know, because when my child was first born, you know, I had a little bit of, what is it called, when you get to be off the maternity time. I had a little bit of maternity leave, but you having this extended time, I'm so happy for you, man, just to be with her every day. I know it's been, you gotta have, it feels different than with your other children.
Oh, yeah. Because when I had my first daughter, I was a stockbroker at TD Ameritrade. So I had I had 2 weeks. I think I had like 2 weeks off. And then that was back in the saddle, you know. But 2 weeks off ain't really enough time, man, to really fine with your new child, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so that was totally different on that end. But that experience really helped me really push and get out into my own. So now, having my own business, man, and like being able to, you know, be my own boss, it's a double-edged sword because it's great, but it's also a lot, you know. So, but at least I had an opportunity on my own terms to really be there and let myself know how much time I wanted to give with my family to make sure that it was strong and it was established, you know, that bond. Because that's another trick to society that really affect us too as a culture, where if they keep you so distracted when you can't focus on that family, guess what? That's what things start to affect that family easier. You got to have that firm male subject in that family, bro.
I get that, man. I totally get that. What was I going to say? I'm just so glad you had the time, because that bonding we all needed. Bring it back to Elite real quick before we get up out of here, man. Because again, I just appreciate you, Zach, making the time. I know you ripping and running,
moving and grooving.
So I appreciate you stopping. What was I going to say? What do you have? Do you have any virtual events on the horizon again for Elite? Because again, I think 420 went well. You guys thinking about doing anything like that again?
I mean, I think it would be dope, bro. I think it would be cool. I have something in my head that I kind of want to do. And they won't be virtual events to like that extent. It'd be more like virtual educational material that we would do, you know. So we have a few different resources that we want to tap into and have general people. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it could be, it might be a series where I might sit down for 10 minutes and we might just talk about cannabis stock. And ooh, trading, okay. You know, like pick my brains for 10 minutes, you know, and then boom, you know, so it might be some stuff like that where we in and out. I won't be doing any like long winded events, like 2-3 hour type things, but can I get in and drop some jewels or answer some questions, you know, but build it up like, you know, we'll build it up like an event. We'll promote it like an event, but it might be just a 10 minute live that I go. The focus might be trading cannabis stock options, you know, like, and I might just boom, 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 whampy wham, get in, get out, you know. It might be cannabis breeding, you know, bringing some genetic, some breeders in. We talk about cannabis breeding, you know, so things like that. That's kind of where some of the things that I kind of been twirling around in my head, and we probably be dropping some of that here real soon.
Oh my goodness, dude, that sounds amazing. Please feel free. I would love to help in that or be involved in that or soak it up once you put it out in any way, shape, or form. Please holler at me, because that sounds
for sure. For sure, bro. You always know, oh man, you know, you've been down since the day we met, bro, and you know, we try to do whatever we can to continue to cross promote. So yeah, you know, I got you, bro, with that info. And, like when we're ready to drop it, yeah, you know you're gonna be right there, man. And like I want you to be there, you know, because there's a lot of things that we talk about that I feel like people really could benefit from if they really took the time to stop and listen and apply it.
Right.
You know, it's always, you got to apply it. You know, I end that with a lot of my classes where I tell people, hey, you know, you can walk out of here with this information and you can have this folder with you. And when you get home, you can either set this folder down on the counter and let all stuff pile up on it and never see it again. Or you can actually take this folder and you can actually open it up and you can apply everything that we talked about. Because if you do, I promise you will be successful, but if you don't, you won't be. I can guarantee you, you won't be successful. You know, so it's all about applying the knowledge, man. We gotta get it and apply, execute, execute, execute.
Right. You are so right, man. And that's the one, number one thing is you can talk about it, but you have to physically do it.
You have to do it
and make it happen, folks. I'm telling you, I pick this man's brain all the time, and definitely about cannabis stocks, anything business related, y'all need to listen to this cat. You know what I'm saying? Because if he's offering something like that virtually for free, please take advantage of it. This man is very smart and he can break it down to you in a very fast, precise way. Zach, thank you, man.
No problem. Anytime, oh, anytime you want to pull me in, man, you like, you know, man, I got you, bro. Just let me know if I got, and I'll rearrange my schedule. And we'll make it happen, bro. We sure will, dog. So I appreciate what you're doing too out here, though, man. Being an outlet for business owners like me within this cannabis space, man. locally, man, and nationally, and hopefully globally one day, but giving us a voice. Because, you know, you ask us questions that most people don't ask us, and we get to actually get a chance to, you know, open up and tell a little bit more about ourselves. You know, things that I tell you about, nobody asked me about how my daughter was doing. Most people don't even know I had a daughter. You know what I'm saying? They just think I'm just out here doing weed, doing cannabis all day, every day. Like, I got family, man. You know, like, I got a lot of stuff going on. So thank you for taking the time to get to the core and actually, you know, ask some real questions, man.
Man, Zach, no problem, man. Thank you so much for that. That was big right there, what you just said. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you, because that's you doing that. And I like to reach people on another level. It's not just, you know, the business level or this, or just the basketball level. This is more underneath that. You know what I'm saying? So let's talk about that too. And thank you for making time for us, man. We appreciate it.
No problem, big old man.
Can't wait to have you back, man. Holler back at me. Hey, everybody. Appreciate y'all joining us for these Brona Chronicles, volume, whatever the fuck. But we had fun. That came through, made it dope. This is another episode of High Off the Glass, man. Y'all holler at us later. Get at Zach. Go to Elite Home Grow. Go to Elite. Shout out the website and shout out all of your socials real quick.
Oh, yeah. The website is elitehg.org. And then you can follow us Viva IG at Elite Home Growers. And that's for both social, Facebook and Instagram.
I tell you one thing, check them out, y'all. And you need to get a fucking Twitter page. Why do you not have a Twitter page?
I mean, that's another conversation.
Man, get a Twitter page. Hey, love you, Dad. All right, holler at me, man.
All right,
bro.
Peace. Peace. Yeah.